trust that you had a safe trip and everything turned out exactly like you'd planned on that trip. Amen. Well, and I like the way he's dressed tonight. Boy, that's nice. Nice shirt. And I like that, brother. Hey, did you pick that out, Miss Jen, or for him? I figured you did. And sure did. Well, anyway, tonight we continue our study and talk about some simple ideas on the matter of personal witnessing. And there was a time when I wanted to be a witness for Christ, but I just didn't know how. And then God put some people on my path that were great witnesses for Christ. And I went with them, and I got a burden for people. And as a result of it, I've been trying to be a witness for Christ for many years now. So what is the key to becoming a successful soul winner? Someone said you need to just borrow the slogan from Nike. Just do it. The reason why we don't do it is because we don't do it. And so he said, someone said, came to D.L. Moody and said, I just don't like the way you witness to people. He said, I like my way better, doing it better than the way you are not doing it. How many of you have ever heard of the book called The Romance of the Doctor's Visits? And this is a medical doctor wrote a book, and some years ago I bought it and let somebody borrow it, and they didn't bring it back. And it was one story account, I'd call it, after another, of a man by the name of Dr. Walter Wilson speaking and telling situations where he had led people to Christ. And I thought it was just a real blessing. It was a real blessing to my heart to read it. As we're going through this, we talked about the fact that we need to just do it. And then if you'll notice, if you're taking notes, we must believe that sharing the gospel matters and care about what God cares about. Over in Luke chapter 15, in verses 3 through 7, the Bible says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice for me. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then Jesus said, made the application. He said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So God does and is concerned about lost souls. I mentioned last Wednesday night, we don't have to worry about it because it's not something that we work up. It's just something that we do because we've been commanded to do so. And when we're told to do it, we just go ahead and do it. And someone said, well, can you witness without the Holy Spirit? I suppose you could, but it seems to me like that every opportunity that a person has to, in a nice way, he ought to be able to witness to some people. Sometimes when you're standing in a line going out from a grocery store, or something. You don't need to stand there and take the time of the person who is checking you out to witness to them, except just maybe hand them a gospel tract if there's a group of people moving through. And there are times when you can be take the time. Like this week, I had to take my printer into the Office Depot. And when I took it in, they said, take it to the place where you return things, and there is a tech there that can work on it for you. And so I walked over there, and it was early in the morning. They first just opened the store, and there's no one around. It gave me a wonderful opportunity to speak to someone for quite a while she was working on my printer. And boy, I recommend anybody that has trouble with their printer to go to Lowe's, if you will. Boy, this girl is really, really sharp in that area. And she fixed my printer, and I was grateful, but I also had a wonderful opportunity to be a witness to her and to share with her. And she really, really seems to appreciate it, the witness for the Lord. And so there are opportunities all around us, but we don't need to be unkind in trying to do it. And I remember an evangelist by the name of Carl Hatch. Carl Hatch witnessed to everybody wherever he went. And I had him come to my church for a revival meeting. And I met him at the airport. And he said, you have any gospel tracts? And I said, yeah. Well, we were going upstairs, going from one section to the other there in the Houston airport, and he just laid one down on the step. I said, you dropped that on the step. He said, I did that on purpose. He said, somebody might come along and pick it up. And what he does too, he goes in to a restaurant and he drops one, and he'll go back and pick it up and then read it out loud to everybody in the restaurant. And one day we were coming out of a restaurant, a big old Texan standing there with a big cowboy hat on. He handed him a tract and he started tearing it up. And I was walking ahead. He turned around and he said, hold it, hold it. So I thought, man, here, getting ready to have a fist fight right here. So I just darted toward the car. He said, what are you trying to do, tear that tract up? He said, hold it and give it to somebody else if you don't want it. Well, I'm just not that bold. I mean, not quite that bold. Some people can do it, and I can't. I just rather just go ahead and hand the track. If the person tears the track up, that's between him and God. Amen? It's not my responsibility. And we need to understand that God cares for the lost. See, and in fact, the Apostle Paul had an example. I think he gives us some excellent examples of how to do this. You remember we were reading in chapter 9 of the book of Romans where he said, for I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He really was thinking about not only nationally, but I think he was thinking about the individuals that made up the nation of Israel. In chapter 17, you remember reading there, I'm sure, where Paul waited for people there, and he was in Athens, and the Bible says his spirit was stirred within him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons, and in the marketplace daily with them that met with him, everybody. He was talking with them there on the street, street witnessing, just talking about the Lord. And so that's a good thing we ought to do. Then the third thing, we must talk to the Lord about sharing Jesus with the lost. I used Romans chapter 12, verse 1 as a verse, but I think we should pray regularly for those that don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I have lots of relatives that I pray for on a regular basis. I don't do it on every day, but on a regular basis, I take time to pray for my relatives. I have lots of relatives in the Lilly family that are lost without the Lord Jesus, and I know it. And you know, it's a strange thing. I used to go to our family reunion, and it'd be an opportunity for me to be a witness for everyone. But all of the unsaved would go out and play horseshoes while I was speaking and not come into the service. And I think my brother, one of my younger brothers with the Lord now, I think he went to the door and stopped. He said, we're not going to have any other activities today until we have some preaching. And so we're going to sit down, we're going to sing, and we're going to preach. Hear the preaching. My brothers are going to be preaching, and so you need to sit down and listen to him. Well, they did, and hope that they hear the message of Christ, and that's so important. And I remember when my brother died, as far as I know, I'd never witnessed to him, and it just tore my heart apart. And so it was then that most all of my brothers were still living, and so I just took their address, and I sat down and typed a 2-page letter giving the gospel to each one of my brothers and asking them for sure if they knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because I sure would like to see all of my family in heaven with the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't you? I certainly would. And I gave the gospel to them and let them know that I cared. And you say, well, just how would you pray for somebody? I think, first of all, we need to pray for ourselves and just say, Lord, help me to see their spiritual need. You know, we can talk and visit, but then we need to just be thinking in the terms of what are some spiritual needs in this person's life, or my brother or my sister? And then, Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to them. And you'll be surprised how the Lord will answer your prayer. And if you just ask for that opportunity, there's things like, Lord, give them a desire to know you. In other words, asking the Holy Spirit to prepare their heart for the coming. I've been out on visitation many, many times, knock on the door of somebody and they weren't home. And I'd say, well, boy, I'd tell my partner, we don't need to waste a visit right here and when there's nobody home. And so anyway, I'd say, well, let's just go next door and knock on the door and invite them to come to church. And I've gone several times, knocked on the door, and they said, you know, we've been thinking about this thing. We've been thinking about it. So God is opening their hearts if we're willing to pray for them. And then I think the closer we get to the Lord, the more we'll want a witness for the Lord Jesus. And we might just have to pray the prayer, Lord, just draw me closer to yourself through your word and through fellowship with God's people and through the ministry of your word. Give me a burden. And then we could just pray, Lord, reveal yourself to them in undeniable ways. Help them to know that it's really you that are speaking to their hearts. And then fourthly, we must be ready with an answer. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The word answer in that verse of scripture is the Greek word where we get the word apologetics. In other words, we ought to know how to answer people when they ask a question. And I've always been kidding everybody when I don't know the answer. I say the answer is in the Bible in Deuteronomy 29:29. And the word Deuteronomy 29 said the secret things belong to the Lord. And if I don't know it, maybe God knows. So we have to be authentic and honest. If somebody asks a question, you say, "Well, I don't know the answer." And I've had calls from folks in our church and say, "Oh, Brother Lilly, I was out witnessing, talking to this person, they asked this question, and do you have an answer that I can go back and give them?" So we don't have to be authentic. We have to be honest with people about your relationship with the Lord, and not only that, but about Bible questions. If they ask you what you are doing this weekend, you be honest. "Well, I'm going to a concert this Saturday night at our church, and then I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning. It's Father's Day." And it could be sometime that you're talking to someone, and maybe Brother Ronnie's got set up for Friday night movie night, and you say, "Well, I'm going to Friday night movie night, and I'm going to that. I'd like for you to go along with me." And then just being honest about what you're doing can lead people to ask why you're doing it. And then, boy, that's a wonderful opportunity to give your testimony. And I think every person ought to learn their testimony in such a way that they could present it as they just before they start to share the gospel with someone. I guess 9 out of every 10 times that I sit down and talk with someone about their soul, I first of all tell them about my own relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that will get them interested, and then we can present a gospel message. And so if someone brings up the subject of church and what you believe, just be honest. We believe the Bible. We believe in God. We believe that our Father is in heaven. We believe the world fell in sin and can only be saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Him. And we believe the Holy Spirit and His presence in every moment of the lives of people who repent of their sin and trust Christ as Savior. And we believe we can have eternal life and find joy with God in believing in Him and accepting Him as our Savior. We can say things like that. That's what we believe. And where it goes from there, nobody knows, because there'll be some questions, and that's okay. You just have to respect a person asking a question, and don't force them if they don't want to talk. This cannot be overemphasized. It is God who is at work. I tell about the visit I had some weeks ago, right straight out here, going door to door. Met a young man. He didn't want to hear a thing I had to say. I did offer him a gospel tract. He told me he didn't want it. He didn't want to read that kind of stuff. And I said, "Well, listen, can I pray for you?" He said, "No, I don't want you to pray for me." So I just turned around and walked back to the car and went on my way. I gave him the opportunity. He had an opportunity. And one of these days at the Great White Throne, if he doesn't get saved, he'll be standing at the Great White Throne judgment, and he'll remember with forever and ever and ever and ever the offer that I made to him that night, day. So then you let your conversation just end there, like I said. If they do not want to talk anymore, just don't. End it right then. You can't, if a guy said, "No, I don't want to talk about it," stop it right then. So learn and memorize a gospel script. Brother Earl gave me some cards the other night, and I bring them tonight. But it's a stack of cards. If you have more of those, I'd like to give them to everyone in our church. It gives step by step, and you just put in the New Testament, and it's a step by step plan of salvation. And right under there, in small print, it'll be questions that they might ask. And so it really, really does help in getting started. So you can know it so well that it becomes second nature in your heart, in your life, and there that this will help you do several things. Here's what it helps me. Well, knowing that I can give four steps of the plan of salvation. I can give those four steps in what they call the Roman road. I can give those and by the way, the other night I had a nightmare. I thought I had lost my New Testament. And my wife was trying her best to find it for me, and we searched all everywhere, and we still didn't find it. And I'm glad I woke up and said, praise the Lord, I was only having a nightmare. But if you keep a new little New Testament with you all time, and just stick it in your purse, and you ladies can have one in your purse. My wife has a little New Testament in her purse. She has gospel tracts in her purse, and she probably has more gospel tracts than I do. But and gives them away. First, if you have a script, by the way, you can tell a person that all of us are sinners. That's easy to tell, isn't it? And so we have a verse of scripture to back that up. Well, you have two basic scriptures, but you can go all the way back to Adam if you want to. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Or, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10-23. And then you could tell people that everybody's a sinner and under condemnation, and that if they die in their condition, they're going to hell, because the Bible says in Romans 6:23, what? How many of you quote that? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you can tell somebody, now this really, it looks real bad right now. We're all sinners and we're all under the condemnation of God. Now here's a good thing. God doesn't want us to go to hell. He didn't want anybody to go to hell. And you could say, Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I was reading something here about an atheist, read it yesterday morning. An atheist that would never want to talk about God, never want to do it. And finally, God gave him a Bible, and he said, I want you to take this thing, and I want you to refute it if you can. And so the atheist took it, and he read through the whole Bible. And he came back and told the guy, he said, what was the most important thing that you found in there? Oh, he said, it's easy for me to tell you what. He said, did you know that God's son was born of a virgin? And some people just don't ever even recognize that. If God's son was born of a virgin, and did you know he lived a sinless life? And you think about an atheist would usually say, well, boy, what about, I was amazed at chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis, because it tells about creation. But he was so amazed, and because the Holy Spirit led him to one of the most important parts of the plan of salvation, and that's the incarnation of Jesus Christ and his perfect life upon this earth. And then he died a vicarious death for everybody in the whole world, Romans 5:8. Now, I always tell a person they can know all of three of those things and they still go to hell. That's why today there are many people that believe Jesus Christ in their head, but they've never accepted him in their hearts. And that is scary. Do you know why? You read the book of Hebrews about people who neglect so great salvation. They know about the truth, they just don't They don't respond to it. They know they're lost. They know they're going to hell, but they don't ever respond to it. They say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That doesn't make a person saved. He just believes it in his head. He's never done anything with his heart and soul and turned from his sin and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's why the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, confessing the Lord Jesus with your mouth means that you have turned from your sin and trusted Christ and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. That's how a person gets saved. So they turn from their sin and trust the Lord. Now, I learned that and memorized that for three basic reasons. Number one, it helps me to explain the gospel clearly when it's appropriate. Is that your problem? How many of you would have a problem with explaining? Now, to be honest, I have a problem explaining the gospel in a simple, clear way. Well, next time you get an opportunity, explain it in a clear way, okay? Then secondly, I get this script because it will allow me to be clear and concise in my presentation. And then thirdly, it'll help to calm your nerves. I guess I used to get, of the first 4 or 5 years, I would get so nervous trying to explain the plan of salvation for fear that I might overlook or mislead somebody. Because what you're doing here now, at this time, you are sharing with people one of the most important things that they can do in this life. They say, well, the most important thing for me to do is make a $1 million. No, it's not. Most important thing in the world to me is to find a good mate. All of these are a good automobile or buy a good house. All of these things are good things, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is a person's relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we really believe it, if not, we just throw the whole thing out and forget the whole program. That's three reasons. Anyone who is consistent in witnessing has a basic method of speaking to others about the Lord Jesus. The late Dr. John R. Rice did it differently from anybody I ever heard about. I guess maybe my pastor probably got the idea from him when I got saved. He asked me to, I believe, John 3:16. Dr. Rice would always explain John 3:16 to the person he was witnessing to and ask them to pray the sinner's prayer. And you know about John R. Rice, a very, very, very wonderful witness for the Lord Jesus, led many people to the Lord. So when speaking to the unsaved, asking questions and getting to know that individual relative to his or her background, you know, and their family and their job and all this. And I usually will talk to, that's what I talk to people about. Today I sat down at the funeral home and talked with Carl Forster's son, his oldest son. He and I had an occasion to sit on the couch inside the parlor there in the funeral parlor, and I just asked him who he was. I didn't know him. And he told me who he was, and we began to talk. And I asked him what he did for a living and everything, and proceeded, because of time, we didn't have time to finish it, to just let him know that he needed the Lord if he wasn't saved. I wasn't sure about his salvation because I'd never met him before. As far as I know, I can't remember him ever being here in church. And so it's a good opportunity to talk to him. And so you can talk to them about their job, their family, and about their background or something. And people usually like to talk about their background, where they're from, what they do for a living, things like that. So you talk about that, and And sometimes the Satan, this is where he really gets to operate right here. And I've noticed how he really will change a person's questions. You know, he'll say, "Well, I work at so and so," and then what? And you ask him, "Well, that's wonderful. How long have you been working there? About something for so many so year?" And sometimes the devil will mislead you into asking questions about his job and who he works with, or "I know somebody that works there, and I know somebody that goes there, and somebody that goes there." Or you might be talking to someone. They'll say, "Well, I like to fish. Where do you fish?" "Well, I fish on so-and-so place. How many did you catch there?" And next thing you're going to know, you waste 30 minutes talking about a fishing trip. And so you need to do your best to try to get back on the subject that is most important, and that's a matter of their personal relationship to Jesus Christ. So in preparation for presenting the gospel, it's good to ask a question which focuses on salvation. Questions like this: has anyone ever taken a Bible and showed to you how you can know for sure that if you died, you would go to heaven? The reply may be, "No, I don't believe so." Then you ask, "May I?" And then they respond positively, then you can proceed to open your Bible and tell them that the Bible has bad news and it has good news, and the bad news is about you and the good news is about the Lord, and let's talk about Him. So we'll stop right there and take up there next Wednesday night, talking about leading into a personal witness for Jesus Christ. Let's pray now. Father, we do pray now that you'll be with us as we go into the prayer time now. We pray the Holy Spirit to guide us and give us a real burden for the lost, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.